Mike LaFave. He's the director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mike, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
You know, Mike, whenever I talk to people about the Mackinac Center, I tell you, you guys take a lot of shots. There's that conservative, anti-Democrat entity that really is trying to dictate policy when they're just supposed to study it. Why is everybody picking on you guys?
Well, it could be because we're successful and it's easy to label us, or should I say mislabel us. We are no more conservative because we espouse free market solutions to public policy problems than someone would be, you know, a car because they're standing in a garage. So I think it's because we're successful and because it's easy to mislabel us for their own advantage.
From the top of your head, can you remember a policy issue which you disagreed with but which was successful?
In terms of the disagree with the government's vision?
Perhaps with vision or action. For example, if the movie industry would have been able to prove that it was beneficial, that the tax incentives that they got warranted support, has that ever happened?
I've never seen, corporate welfare is my bailiwick, and I've never seen any particular industry successfully evidence something contrary to the Mackinac Center. However, we're an empirical research group, and we go where the data tells us.
I'm not sure if this is within your realm of study, but where does, if you know, where does the Mackinac Center stand on the bridge?
No, we haven't taken a position on it, in part due to the fact that we just don't have a transportation expert on staff here. Our adjunct scholars are very busy doing other things as well. So we really haven't gotten into it. At the end of the day, it's a road issue, and it's an area that we don't spend a lot of time in.
Well, let's talk about liquor laws. You wrote an interesting piece some time ago, and it's something that I have an attended interview file, and I pulled this out recently. And you wrote about unlocking the state's liquor laws, reforming Michigan's alcohol rules should lower prices. Before we talk about that specifically, I found it curious that Michigan, that the state, was in the liquor business. Are there other states involved in this, and should Michigan be involved in it?
Yes, Michigan is one of 18 states that basically act as wholesaler for liquor for their residents. They purchase almost every drop of liquor legally consumed in the state and have been doing so since the end of Prohibition. That's why we're in the business. As the country emerged from the mists of Prohibition, this failed experiment that Ken Burns recently discussed in his new documentary, states chose different directions on how to regulate or control consumption of alcohol, specifically liquor in some states, and others the whole smash. In other states, they were controlling liquor, beer, and wine, and actually had government stores. In Michigan, we sort of had a hybrid system where the state was buying every drop of liquor sold in the state to ensure that it was safe and not being distributed by criminal enterprises, and other states did the same. But other states also bought beer and wine and ensured that only they could sell them to consumers. And then over the years, of course, Michigan tried to actually establish state stores and distribute more than just liquor through them. But ultimately, during the Engler administration, he removed the state from the state distribution system, but they retained their role as wholesaler, buying every drop of liquor in the state. Now, the other states, the 32 other states that are called licensed states, actually just license manufacturers and importers to distribute alcohol into their state, where it is then, you know, picked up by wholesalers and distributed on to retailers.
From your perspective, should we stay in this business?
No, not at all. I think that it artificially drives up the cost of hard liquor, spirits, and we've presented some research showing that with our own empirical analysis, and it does so without actually adding a greater degree of safety than states that simply license manufacturers and importers to distribute their alcohol or their hard liquor in particular states.
So why do we stay in the business? Why don't we get out?
Well, I think it's, first of all, it's profitable for the state to be wholesaler because they actually buy liquor from manufacturers and then mark it up 65% before slapping on four taxes and then an extra sales tax on top of all that price. So, you know, when you buy liquor at a local liquor store, only a fraction of that is the cost of manufacturing and the profit of the manufacturer. A lot of the other costs are associated with the state trying to squeeze money out of retailers or out of consumers. It'd be a lot more honest, in my opinion, if they would get out of that business and just hike the tax by some amount equal to the revenue they want to come in. But I think that's why they do it, is they have a secret tax or a discrete tax on liquor, and they don't want to give up the revenue. Another reason, of course, is that liquor retailers have become accustomed to the system where they are guaranteed a discount on the price that the state marks it up by, of some, I think it's 17%, and are probably nervous about competing with stores like Meijer or Costco should the state remove itself from the liquor business. Now, that's not to say that they can't compete, because they do in states where they just license manufacturers and retailers to sell. Over the border in Indiana, Meijer competes openly with small liquor stores, and the small liquor stores just do just fine because they're very convenient. However, we have found in survey after survey after survey that liquor prices are much lower in Indiana, just over the border from Coldwater, for instance, than they are in Michigan, and it's probably because Indiana does not have such heavy control of its system.
You have suggested some reforms. Tell us about some of those.
Yes, in my article, Unlocking States Liquor Laws, I actually said the first reform that we should engage in is repeal of a state mandate that actually forces suppliers of beer and wine to grant territorial monopolies to Michigan's beer and wine wholesalers. We think the law is not only unfair to consumers, but to suppliers and retailers as well, and it turns out to be something of an embarrassment of riches to a lucky 60-plus wholesalers in the state who have basically a captive audience. They suppliers are forced to offer them their product for a particular region. And, you know, the federal government and many states have laws against monopolies, and yet our state grants them to a lucky few wholesalers, which we believe drives up the cost of beer and wine consumption. Related, we actually have a rule in this state, and a rule exists in other states as well, that limit price competition for beer and wine with something called post and hold rules, where manufacturers and wholesalers must post in some central location, say in Lansing, price changes, and then hold those price changes in place for a length of time. So that limits price competition between beer and wine wholesalers. No beer and wine wholesaler wants their product to be the Christmas turkey, you know, where you have loss leaders for particular beer and wine. In the 70s, there were these beer wars that took place, and this is one of the reasons the things they did to try and limit the driving of price lower and lower and lower in open competition. And in fact, some of the debate that's involved with these rules is quite funny, because the proponents are saying it's unfair to beer and wine wholesalers because retailers, might try to capture a better price, but they never discuss how that would affect consumers. Another idea we had is eliminating this specially designated distributor license quota. You might not know this, but the state limits by population the number of liquor licenses that are distributed for retailers for packaged carryout. But they have no such restrictions on beer and wine. There's no quotas on beer and wine. So that sort of limits the availability of liquor and probably drives people to the beer and wine consumption to the benefit of beer and wine wholesalers. And our list goes on. We actually have 15 reform ideas on our website that we submitted to Governor Rick Snyder's 21-member Liquor Control Advisory Rules Committee, which has been tasked with coming up with ideas for reforming Michigan's liquor control code system.
Do you see any change coming in 2012 or after?
I do. They may not be as bold as I want to see. However, I've heard through the grapevine that this committee has submitted something like 100 reform ideas to the governor already, and it's in his lap. We just don't know which ones he thinks are good, which ones he thinks are bad. But I doubt if they're going to be as bold as the ones that I believe are necessary, in part simply due to the all-out war that would be necessary to make some of the changes we've recommended. in the state of Washington, there was actually a ballot initiative that voters were able to vote on a month ago to eliminate the three-tier system in their state. They're the first state in the union not to maintain a three-tier system like we have here in Michigan, where a manufacturer may not have an interest in a wholesaler, and a wholesaler may not have an interest in a retailer. That's a change we'd like to see also, but it's going to take probably a little more than the governor wants to put out there.
Mike Lefebvre is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mike, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk with you soon.
My pleasure, Tony. Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year.